Hi, listeners. Ram Big Thighs here. What's that? You've never heard my voice before? Well, you could hear plenty more from me and my friends if you subscribe to the Goblins and Growlers Patreon at patreon.com/goblinsgrowlers.
Thanks for your concern, Dor.
I'm just so glad that the Gungans are represented in this game.
This is Quid Pro Roll, a fantasy live play adventure where a party of unlikely heroes embark on a quest to bring dragons back to their world.
Well, howdy, listeners. Welcome to the Daily Crier Listening Show, where all the news and variant and beyond can make its way right to you. Now, last time we saw the party waking up from some moderately restless sleep in the Castle of Marine. Then after snagging some breakfast, they go in search of the Silver Temple, led by Johannes, led, of course, by the Mirror Pendant. Eventually, their feet find them at the Marine Academy of Magic, where Johannes takes on the role of academic tour guide, leading the party to a door with a face behind a restricted area. Now, it is past this door where the party finds a spiral staircase of perplexing design, as gravity seems to reverse partway through. Now, Charles Barnes unfortunately missteps and falls into the middle. Where will he go now? Watch your step, listeners. And as always, y'all take care now.
So, as you pass your compatriots sailing upward into what you believe will become the ionosphere, you're able to catch the underside of the stairs and pull yourself up slash down. I'm not sure what direction it counts as, but you are able to catch the stairs and pull yourself onto the same dimension of stair that your compatriots are on.
As my inner ear and equilibrium sort of acclimated itself to this new gravity situation.
You feel woozy, and a Dramamine probably wouldn't hurt.
Is Boat on the same side of the stairs as the rest of the party now? Oh, I guess Alita hasn't bounded across yet.
She has not.
Solinar will move to above Alita and put a hand out and be like, one hand.
Actually, I would much prefer that than whatever it is that just happened with Boat. Thank you, yes. She's going to reach out and grab his arm.
And he will pull hard enough to try and get her off the ground without wrenching and dislocating her shoulder.
Wonderful. I'm glad that he's taking the care to not deeply injure his compatriot.
It's a steady pull.
Okay, we've been on our way to the Silver Temple for one staircase and I already hate it.
Yeah, now we have to go upstairs. Because going up is how you go down.
Gotta get up to get down.
I guess that makes sense.
Are we supposed to go up or down now?
Which way is up and down?
Well, the temple is under Marine. And since we entered at about street level with Marine, we need to go down, which right now is up. Oh, just follow me. And Solinar starts hiking up the stairs.
Okay.
Alita
get up,
follows.
Get up and jump around. Yeah, I also follow.
Yeah, because it's going to follow.
As you begin your ascent slash descent, you travel for some time before you notice the stairs are now doing the thing that they did before. You feel like you're going up now that you're going down. You are rewarded, however, with seeing at the end of the staircase you travel, whether it be up or down, you're able to see a door, a beautiful silver door, inlaid with gem and filigree.
Oh, this looks important.
Hello, door.
The door is silent.
Oh, no, you have to knock on it. Goes and knocks on the door.
As you knock on the door, instead of the sound you would normally assume you would hear, it instead is the ringing of a bell each time your knuckles collide with the metal.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I think you just rang the doorbell.
Are we talking like church bell, or are we talking like little silver bell?
Silver bell.
So it's more like a jingle, jingle, jingle?
Well, it's like a single jing.
How Christmas time in the city is it?
Imagine you have a small silver bell, and you have a tiny mallet, and you hit the mallet on the bell however many times.
Silver bell.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
And then we knock a few times.
Ring-a-ling.
Ring-a-ling.
Knocking on the door in the silver temple.
The door continues to ring as you knock, but does nothing else.
I don't think anyone's home.
Some drunk Foley artist is who designed this temple.
Hey!
Don't say that about my god.
Well, maybe now we need the mirror pendant? I thought for sure the guy before would need the mirror pendant, but apparently he just needed to know we were trustworthy. So maybe this needs the mirror pendant.
Let's find out. Johannes begins digging around in his pack, and then he pulls out this copper butter knife.
I was about to be like, shouldn't the mirror pendant be around your neck? Why is it in your pack?
And I take the copper butter knife, and I see if I can open this door.
Are you trying to, like, jimmy it open, like, with a credit card, but it's a butter knife?
Yeah.
So in order to do that, you have to reach out and use the doorknob, right?
Absolutely.
The door just opens.
Look, I did it.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Oh, you didn't jimmy that open. You jamesed it. Full on jamesed it.
It was the threat of jimmying that made the bells silence.
Ask not whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
I silenced the bells.
Yeah, the door just opens. And you enter into a disorienting chamber made of mirror. As you step in, you see dozens, if not hundreds, of reflections of yourself. At the center of the room is an enormous carving out of silver. Well, I guess carving's probably an inaccurate word. It's a big statue of a silver dragon curled up and asleep.
Aww.
You see that it sits on top of a circular base inscribed with draconic writing. At the very center, facing you all, is a circular indent.
Let's see. What does this say? Nope, can't read it. Alina, can you read?
This time for sure, right? Like, there's no way.
This time what?
I think I know what you're saying, Sol and I.
What is it, Johannes?
I take out the wheel of cheese and I put it in the indent.
The wheel of cheese is far too large.
Oh, wait, too big. I put it away. And I take out a lime.
A lime is the wrong shape.
Different shape. I put it away and I take out my canister of lavender hand cream.
It is, unfortunately, also a little too small.
God, this is more difficult than I thought.
The mirror pendant, man. Use the mirror pendant.
Oh, you mean this? But the ghosts aren't even talking to me anymore. Johannes puts the mirror pendant in.
The mirror pendant sinks into the indent, and you think you can hear kind of a sniffle from behind you as it seals itself into the pedestal, and you feel the entire room shake as the dragon statue sinks down so that the base is entirely under the floor, and the entire room begins descending like an elevator. The mirror goes from reflective to transparent. You can see coming up behind you, not behind you, coming up from under you, a labyrinth, a glittering silver labyrinth, and with crystal and light, it's beautiful. But you can also tell that if this is the temple, you're not entirely confident as to how you'll find your way in this maze. Eventually, the room hits its destination with a soft settling, and you turn to see that the silver door has opened, entering you into a grand room.
I'm gonna be honest, I'm not feeling super confident about this maze. Did you guys see how many rooms there were?
Yeah, that's a lot of rooms we're gonna have to probably do dangerous stuff through.
And we don't have the mirror pendant anymore.
Well, we might be able to pick it back up on our way out.
Maybe.
Yeah, we can ask that door politely.
I mean, we haven't been able to recover any of the other keys.
Have we really tried?
Yeah, we haven't tried hard enough.
Yeah, fair. Okay, sparkly silver maze. What do we do now?
Well, I will say, similar to what I've said in just about every other metallic temple we've gone through, it is amazing how well they've defended these places, and you can tell because absolutely nothing has been scraped off the walls. And if there was any other entrance to this building, people would have got in here, and they would have been scraping stuff off the walls for decades now. You imagine?
Breach.
Each inch of the wall is probably worth a normal, like, workman's daily wage.
You know, I hate that you said that.
What do you mean?
I've been thinking a lot lately about what makes the metallic dragons any different. And, I don't know, they have these big, elaborate temples made of, you know, precious metals in this case. I don't know, I feel like they could have done some good with it. Though, that all being said, I've never known a world with more dragons. Maybe things are a little bit less, you know.
I get the impression that things were a little more plentiful when chromatics weren't demanding constant devotion and tribute from everybody. Additionally, we don't know what this silver's made of. It could just be like the dragons walked through and were like, let me breathe on this wall. And then they just covered the wall in silver.
Silver dragons don't breathe silver.
Oh. Well, then maybe it's melted down scales. I don't know.
Ooh.
Actually, ground scale might make something similar to the light effect.
Yeah, from when they molt.
They do. It is quite the event. As you stand in this grand entrance hall, the floor underneath you is a beautiful crystal that seems to shift with your weight as you walk upon it. The walls, as noted before, are silver, with engravings of silver dragons all along them. The ceiling in this place is so high that it is lost into its own shadow. You're not able to see where this space ends. And the light is coming from a source you can't see. You're able to see fairly well in this space, but you can't tell why. To your back, you have two doorways, one to the left and one to the right.
Just real quick, Solinar's going to pull another ball bearing out, and he's going to toss it basically as hard as he can up towards the ceiling.
Gravity appears to work normally from your perspective.
Aha! Gravity's normal in here. At least.
Take that, gravity.
Wait, Are we still upside down? I think we might still be upside down. I don't remember switching back, so we must still be upside down.
Koza, you're able to tell that the room to the doorway to the left seems to be more in use. The knob is worn down a little bit, and there's more scratches and signs of wear. The door to the right seems relatively pristine.
Oh, I think we should go to the left.
Okay.
I rolled a 5, so I don't think I get any input in this situation.
I got a -1.
I accept your guidance, Koza. Let's go.
Yeah, Koza's going to go up to the door to the left and knock on it.
As you knock on the door, your knocks ring out. Nothing answers. No response comes.
Do they ring out or do they ring out?
They echo out non-musically.
Is there another doorknob?
There is.
I will try the doorknob.
You open the doorknob and the door opens as normal.
Yet another puzzle solved.
Before you stretches a dimly lit hallway, the walls made of mirror.
I don't know that I'm a big fan of this. I'm not used to being so visible, and certainly not to being so myself visible to me.
As you look at your reflection, you see dozens of yourself looking back at you. There is a moment that you feel unsettled, but you don't know why. It passes as quickly as it comes.
It's eerie. It's eerie seeing so much of myself from so many angles. I don't like it. Let's get out of here. And Solinar proceeds, like, forward at a moderate clip. Not like a running, but like a fast walk.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't like that. That's alarming.
Koza's gonna take a second to study the reflections.
Koza, as you study your reflection, what are you looking for?
Are there, like, the quality? Is it, like, a perfect reflection? Are there distortions?
Is it a funhouse situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How fun are those houses?
As you study the reflections, you kind of make these minute movements where you'll narrow your eyes, you'll lean closer, you'll turn your head. You notice that deep within the multitude of your reflections, one isn't moving at the same time the others are. It seems to be taking a moment to catch up.
There's an imposter among them.
I'm gonna
do 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 do.
I'm gonna wave to the one that seems to be taking a moment to catch up.
So it's kind of hard to do that because of the way that the echoes of the mirror reflections are. But as you wave, all of them wave. Again, the one that seems off is only off by like a nanosecond.
Okay.
It's just off enough that you notice when you, person with very high wisdom score, is actively looking for something.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? No, to the hello. Mirror. Hello. I was talking to the mirror.
Oh, should I talk to the mirror?
I mean, if you'd like.
Hello.
Is there any...
Koza, what am I waiting? What is the mirror going to say back to me?
Does the mirror respond?
It does not.
Oh, I just thought I noticed something, but I think I was probably wrong. But I don't know. Do you see that one of them is moving?
If Koza points this out to Johannes, is Johannes able to see that there's a difference in...
I'll give you advantage on your perception check.
Oh, God, that doesn't help.
It's what I can do for you.
An 8.
Everything looks normal to you.
Everything looks normal to me, Koza. They're moving kind of the same way that mirrors move. Like, when I move, you know?
Okay. Well, I know I see this one moving, so... But I guess I'll just keep my eye on it.
Okay.
You continue down the hallway, and nothing else of note occurs. You reach a door at the end. The door is cold. There is a light dusting of frost across the door itself, and the handle seems to be stuck, sealed with ice.
Well, there's a few ways I could go about this, but maybe I'll hold on. And Solinar turns around to see, like, who's with him, and on realizing that no one is, he's like, what are you guys doing? This hallway gives me the spooks.
My hallway gives me the spooks. Does that answer your question?
Does it give you the spooks?
I've got the spooks.
Well, all the more reason to get through it then. Like, we got a door over here. It seems to be frozen shut.
Okay.
I was thinking about blasting it with fire, but I don't know if that's fully intelligent. I thought I'd wait for more input.
I don't think we should blast anything. That seems reckless.
What's the door made of?
It is made of wood with okay. the metal inlays to hold it together. It's a sturdy okay. door. It's a nice door, but it's not elaborate or fancy.
Okay. Boat could cast heat metal on the metal parts of the door, if that would help.
You could indeed.
Kuz's gonna just go knock on the door first, though.
You walk up and knock on the door, and you feel your knuckles get cold. Your knocks ring out, but nothing answers.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Okay.
I like Boat's idea of heating the metal. That might melt off some of this ice so it can be unjammed.
Yeah. If that fails, maybe we can at least get it to a point where I can just cast knock on it.
No, I thought Koza just did that.
He manually knocked it. I would be doing it magically.
Oh, magic knocking.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. What would you be knocking on it with?
Magic.
Oh, I think I can do that. And Solinar summons a mage hand and then uses it to knock on the door.
As you do this, I cast heat metal on the door.
The ice melts away with a satisfying sizzling sound. Fortunately, the cooling effect of it makes it so that the handle is not red hot now.
Solinar uses mage hand to turn the handle anyway.
How far are you standing from the door?
Oh, probably not that far, like 5, maybe 6 or 7 feet.
Like okay.
Within 2 hexes.
As your mage hand turns the knob and opens the door, down from the ceiling shoots a screaming blast of cold air, immediately freezing everything in the space around, and it doesn't appear to be stopping. While you are immediately safe from its damage, you can't go through this doorway easily. At least not without taking a little bit of frostbite.
So this is blasting into the space immediately in front of the door, not...
Immediately behind the door.
Oh.
Not okay, in the room you are in.
Solinar's thinking. How big is this blast of cold air? Is it like almost like a fire extinguisher where it's like a very narrow channel that widens out near the ground? Okay.
Solinar. Almost like a cone of cold breath.
Oh, a cold cone. I like ice cream.
I love ice cream.
You like ice cream?
Johannes, I have an idea.
I love ideas.
If we take one of your shields and my mage hand, then my mage hand can hold the shield against the ceiling, blocking cold air. And then we can go through, and then none of us is in danger.
Okay. Here you go.
And Solinar.
How heavy is Johannes' shield? Can't mage hand only lift like 5 pounds?
Yeah, my shield's too heavy, but I put it on mage hand.
Are both of his shields too heavy? Because he's got two.
Let me find out. I put both my shields on the mage hand.
Well, both of them is definitely too heavy.
The mage hand is just like laying on the floor, fingers splayed out, like.
I think my shields are too heavy, Solinar.
Yeah, I think both of your shields for sure. Isn't one of them mostly wood?
Okay. I pick up a shield and I put it in the right way.
The mage hand is going to cup the underside of the shield and lift it, plugging the ice trap. However, It is in that moment that the shield in its entirety is encased in ice, sealing it to the ceiling and that trap.
Ah, shoot. That was not what I had in mind. Hold on. Hold on. I think I can... You really want that shield back, right, Johannes?
Let's see. On a scale of one to want that shield back, it's definitely a want that shield back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. All right. Everybody get on the other side. Solinar is going to position his mage hand to basically catch the shield and shove it towards the party. And after everybody's passed the trap, he's going to aim both of his hands up at the trap and be like, no touching, and set fire to the area with burning hands.
That will effectively melt the ice. But we have established that the arrow catching shield is made of wood.
It's treated wood, but also it can be lit on fire.
It'll only be on fire for a moment.
I'm going to have you, because I am a benevolent voice in the sky.
That's true.
Flip a coin.
Oh, God.
D2, baby.
Okay.
Alon, since it's your shield, you get to call it.
Okay. I'm not going to call it through. I'm just going to roll a D2, which is actually a D4. 1, 2. Goodbye, shield. 3, 4. Could miss you more. Oh. Got a 1. Alex was like, I'm a benevolent GM. I'm gonna allow that mage hand to carry your shield to its death.
I wasn't expecting you to try and burn it free.
How did you expect us to get a wooden shield free of the ceiling?
Johannes is sitting there, and then as the ashes of his shield kind of come and fall down to the ground, he goes, and he turns and he looks at Solinar with these big Johannes eyes, big tears welling up in him, and he goes, why did you do that?
Solinar just puts his hands on his temples, and he's like, I thought with all the ice that it'd be cold enough that there'd be a little heat, because it's just a blast of fire, and then the shield would come loose, and then my hand could usher it over. I didn't think, I don't know why, but it's...
Johannes being so upset has me being like, God, maybe I'm being too much. Maybe we can rewind this. I'm okay
This is the start of Johannes's villain arc.
Yep.
No!
20 years from now, Solinar will be sleeping in bed, and he'll wake up in a noise in the middle of the night, and it's Johannes standing at the foot of his bed, and he holds up his hand, and he says... Ice to see you, and then shoots him with a cone of cold.
Solinar quickly drops his pack on the ground and begins rifling through it, and he comes out with the busted bell from when he was winning games in Aberdeen, and he very quickly I'm trying to see what else he's gotten here that he could maybe make handles out of.
That was my favorite shield.
Hold on. I think I'm gonna. It's not gonna be a perfect replacement, but I do have something.
I think I got something even somethinger.
Oh,
let me look at my spell list.
It's a sick line.
I'm actually gonna go look at my spell book. I'm
so excited.
I'm so excited
that finally decisions have consequences that require you look at your character sheets.
Because is it like charred? Are there charred remains?
There are. It's not just pure ash. It was not cremated.
Okay. Koza is kind of, he's looking at it and he sort of squats down and he's kind of arranging the parts of it until they're kind of in the original shape. And then... he takes some pinches of spores out of his little pack, his little pouch, and he sprinkles it between where all the edges line up.
Like Salt Bay?
No, it's more careful. He's kind of carefully just in the right places. And you see little mycelia start to spread out from them and start pulling together the parts and pulling together all the, pulling together parts and filling in the gaps where it's burned away. And then he hands Johannes a shield again. And it's definitely like kind of blackened and doesn't look like it once did, but has little mushrooms sprouting off of it here and there. I tried to get it as good as I could. I know it probably won't be the same.
It's okay. At least now I've got two shields again, which is my favorite number to have. And Johannes picks up the mushroom recreated shield. I'm gonna say that this doesn't have any magical properties, right, Alex? It's no longer an arrow catching.
I mean, I think the arrow catching was a magical property, so
right.
That is probably gone.
Yeah. Johannes takes it, and when he picks it up, it's like way light. He's like, whoa, okay, gonna have to get used to this. Ooh, okay, well.
You have acquired reanimated shield.
That I think I can help with. And Solinar takes he takes the busted bell, and he just uses a small hammer that's in his thieves' tools to just like knock the edges of the bell into place around the edges of the shield. Yeah, that should be a little bit more like the weight you're used to. And now yeah. It's a shield of ringing.
It definitely feels like it can take a hit, which is what I'm going to need at some point. This is much. Thank you, guys.
This is like the end of Spirited Away when she's given the hair tie that was made by all of her friends together, except it's a shield and it's gross looking.
Look, Johannes, I'm really sorry about how this turned out. I thought it was a really clever idea, and it did not turn out like I was hoping.
It's okay. You couldn't have known that was going to happen, except for the part where you lit a wooden shield on fire. I mean, come on. Even I knew that probably, doesn't seem like the best idea.
I was just thinking about how when you try to light, like wood that's even wet on fire, much less wet and cold, like it doesn't light. It won't light. It's impossible to light it.
That's true. Every time we're making camp, we always gotta dry the wood out. Okay, I understand where you're coming from. I'm just feeling, I think, a little bit emotionally that more than I usually would.
No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. And I will be more careful especially with your things in the future.
I appreciate it.
In this room, as cold as it is, and as ice is sort of, and puddles of water now that the whole flame hands thing happened, cover the floor. There are two doors to the north wall, as before, one to the left and one to the right.
Is there anything distinct about either door?
Actually, the noticeable thing is that there isn't. They are completely identical, down to the same scratches.
Like, what kind of scratches? Is it just like use scratches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like fingernail scratches of an entombed like shrine maiden. Just like you use a door, and sometimes it scratches it up.
I'm gonna go open the left door.
As you open the left door, the right door opens alongside it.
Uh-huh. And can I look through the left door and see myself on the other side of the room?
No.
Okay.
The hallways behind them appear identical, but they don't appear magically linked.
Is it just me, or do you guys think that these kind of look like the scratches of an entombed shine maiden?
If I look down the hallway, is it like, what do I see? Is it straight? Does it go on forever? What can I see?
One of them, you can, the one that you're immediately standing in front of, you can, see down a certain way, and it ends in a, in a divide. You can either go left or you can go right. The other doesn't have that and appears to go straight, but there's an impossibility there.
Mm-hmm.
The T-shaped corridor should be cutting through the one to the right, but it doesn't appear that it is.
It looks like this path is more used. That's probably the way to go, right?
No, not if the people who used it marched off to their death.
Well, I don't think anybody in this temple was marching off to their death. At no point do I think that any of the metallic priests were like, hey, you know what? These chromatic priests seem to have the upper hand on us. Let's go do a ritual suicide. Like, that doesn't sound like metallic priests.
What if they were luring chromatic priests in here and then marching them off to their deaths?
That's a really, really elaborate concept for a place that up until minutes ago was locked by a magic artifact that no one but us had.
We don't know what happened before we got here. We don't know how many other mirror pendants are out there.
How many mirror pendants have we seen while we've been adventuring over the entire multiple continents we've been on?
People may just be keeping them secret. How many pink elephants have you seen?
I've seen none. Zero pink elephants.
So does that mean that they don't exist? You don't know. You can't prove a negative.
Probably. What door did we choose last time? Left?
You did choose left last time as an assistance from the voice in the sky.
Thank you, voice in the sky. If we did left last time, then we should do left again.
Okay, I guess.
And that way it's like a U shape.
Are you doing the logic that if you follow one wall, you'll eventually navigate the maze?
No, I'm just saying that we're more likely to get lost doing a left and then a right and then a left and then a right. Where if we do a left and then another left, then we know that we're traveling sort of back the way we came. And so there should theoretically be limits to how far we can go.
Well, good enough for me.
Because it's just going to walk through the opposite door than what we had previously done.
So you're going through the right door?
Yeah, the right door.
When he opens that one, if the left door also opens, Johannes walks through the left one.
Okay, he does, and it does. So the two of you enter into separate corridors. Give me a minute.
Alex is like, so when navigating a tesseract, you have to go through the center twice before you can escape.
Koza, you're going to continue going straight, just completely straight. Mm-hmm. At no point does it diverge. It goes straight to another doorway. This one with no door, just an empty archway leading into another room. Johannes, as you travel, there's going to be a split in the corridor, leading you either to the left or to the right.
Johannes yells back to the party and also to around the corner to Koza. He's like, do you see a split in front of you?
No split here, just straight.
I've got decisions to make over here, so maybe we don't go this way unless we want to make decisions.
Oh, I don't know about making decisions.
Oh, I know this. What does everybody think? Straight line it is. Johannes walks back and grabs everybody and then starts moving towards the straight line.
I was going to say, I do prefer a straight line to curves because it's harder to keep track of where we are.
All right.
And we already know that Koza doesn't like decisions, so we're going.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. As you head straight down the hallway and through the open archway, you find yourself in what appears to be some kind of sanctuary. There are pews, but it's a smaller room. Only the relief of a silver dragon done about the height of Johannes is carved into the wall itself, surrounded by incense, unburnt, untouched, and unused. You find like a couple of silver coins. Nothing major. It looks like how you imagine it must have looked when it wasn't actively being used, you know, 200, 300 years ago. It feels lived in a way that seems odd.
Johannes walks into kind of the living space, or just the room, and just kind of looking around. He's like, do you guys feel like You feel like somebody kind of like lives here?
I mean, now that you mention it,
it does feel a lot less like ruins than a lot of the temples we've been in.
I mean, kind of explains all the usage of the door. So my theory about luring people here to march them to their death is starting to look a little bit better.
I certainly hope that's not a likely theory that ends up being proven out. Maybe we should light a little incense. Show that, you know, we also care about the place smelling nice.
Yeah.
Do you think the incense is just there to make the room smell nice?
Well, I thought that was the primary purpose of incense.
It's a sanctifying ritual.
Oh, I love sanctification.
Really?
Johannes runs over and he lights some incense.
But it's a temple. Isn't the whole place sanctified?
Yes, but it's a ritualistic thing.
Oh, I get it. It's sort of like, you know, your bed is your bed, but you make your bed to really, like, have it be presentable.
As you burn the incense, it burns up and out into smoke faster than you've ever seen incense burn. The smoke itself thicker than you were expecting. You are noticing that as the smoke collects around the relief of the dragon, the smoke seems to escape around it, almost as if there was a doorway behind it.
Wait, smoke! Don't go away, we need to sanctify this room! Where do you think it's running to? Smoke, come back here.
I mean, there's still smoke in the room, I promise you. It's just, that is what
I know, I'm running smoke after reveals. The smoke. I run after the smoke that's running away behind the statue.
So you're gonna move the relief. You're gonna have to push it out of the way.
I just go up to like where the smoke is kind of like gathering and moving, like if there's a space that is kind of seeping under or through by the relief, then I'm going to go and I'm going to paw at it. And I'm pawing at it. And I'm like, smoke, all the smoke's running away.
I think we're not seeing any grooves or anything. Probably we just need to wrench it out of the way with as much like deliberate force as possible.
Oh, no. I don't agree.
I don't see any grooves, so it's probably just like you get like four people to really tug on it. It just slides across the floor.
Let's consider some other options first. Maybe. Maybe you are right. What do you all think?
I mean, you're welcome to see if you see some sort of way of getting this open, but I think we just gotta really get our backs into it, you know?
I don't feel like that's usually how these things have gone with our past experiences.
Well, sure, but this is the Silver Temple, which is different from all the other temples we've ever been in. Maybe the Silver Temple values physical strength more. I don't know.
Alita, were the Silver Dragons, did they care about strength?
That wasn't really their thing.
We are in a university, right?
We are.
So maybe the solution requires a little more thought.
We have to tell the temple something it doesn't know so it can learn.
Oh my god. The temple didn't know about this book. And Johannes goes into his backpack and pulls out the memoirs of Bradley Chattingtonson. Bradley Chattingtonson was born an austere and funny looking child.
Can you describe the door again for me?
Calling it a door is not accurate, other than the fact that it might be a secret door. It is a large relief that is pressed flat against the wall and originally appeared to be carved out of the wall itself. The relief itself is overall kind of rounded at the top and flat on the bottom, with the sides smooth, the dragon being contained within the entirety of this shape.
Ooh, that was a nice pop.
The wall itself on the other sides of this relief is flat with nothing, no decor or anything.
Solinar pulls out his, does he still have a crowbar that's not the Bros Before Crows Caw crowbar of lock strengthening?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he does. Okay, for you. So Solinar pulls out his other crowbar and is like, look, I'm still thinking we just gotta get in there, just gotta wrench it out, just gotta shift things with all possible force. It's gotta be the only way, because there's nothing else here.
I'm feeling more confident every time he says it, honestly.
Okay, so what are you guys gonna do?
I still just don't feel right about this. Can I like explore around the edges of this thing and roll a perception?
You absolutely can. Solinar, what are you trying to do, bud?
Solinar's looking for a space in the relief that's wide enough for him to get his crowbar on in there.
You're going to be able to find it. This... Go ahead and roll perception for me.
I rolled a 15.
Oh, no, Chapman, not you. Not you, Josh. Chapman.
Oh, 15.
So you are, and for the record, Solinar, you don't need to look hard. You can find a spot to crowbar it pretty easily. You are going to see that there is definitely something on the other side of this relief. It is clearly meant to be moved out of the way.
Yeah, this will give me a good grip. All right. I'll go ahead and start prying it away from the wall. If you guys go ahead and start pulling on it, I think we can get this thing out of the way in no time.
I really don't feel good about
this. So are you trying
this?
To push it like to the side, or are you trying to like pull it down?
I think Solinar's just getting the crowbar in there and trying to pry it free of where it is. A lot of horizontal force.
Are you doing that right now?
No, he's waiting for everybody else to get in position and start pulling.
I really don't feel good about this.
Well, I'm not going to throw my back out on it. Like, that's why we got to move it as a team.
What if I cast knock on it?
I mean...
You can try.
Do you think there's anybody to magically answer the door?
Maybe.
I just, you know.
I'm gonna try.
If you're gonna magically knock on it.
You wanna pop that spell slot?
I did. I cast knock on the door. We're on the thing that we're trying to pry open.
As you cast knock, the entire relief glitters with the magic and slides slowly to the side, revealing a doorway. The room that you walk into is peaceful. It gives you a feeling of serenity. The light is low, but the contents of the room are still easily visible. At the center of the room is a clear, floating crystal, surrounded by cushions on the floor. As the crystal floats, it gently and slowly spins, warping your reflections within its planes. It beckons you into this quiet room.
You're welcome.
Praise be. Once there was a silence, a void so full of nothingness. Yes, yes, the silence. It consumed like a mighty maw. Hungry, hungry. But then a voice came, and another, and another. The pierced the silence. The voices that bring laughter and wonder, magic and mystery. Yes, yes. But these voices... they could only fight the silence, hold back the great nothing. Yes, but with the support of our divine beings, angels and celestials, too radiant to behold, too glorious not. We give thanks to our patrons, our shiny protectors, Whitney Zahar, Tony Alveto, Joseph Maltby, Andrew Wheeler, Breck O'Donnell, Brianna Beebe. Without your support, these heavenly voices would be lost to the silence, and woe, woe would be unto us all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, thank you.
Solinar will proceed down the hallway with the scratches near the door.
They both have scratches.
Oh, wait.
They have identical scratches.
What? I thought one of them had more scratches.
Oh, that was the point.
They have the exact same in the exact same places in the exact same pattern.
Solinar
almost as if they're the same door.
Looks at the one set and he's like, okay. And then he goes and looks at the other set and he's like, wait. And he walks back to the first set and he's like, no, that doesn't. And he walks back to the second set. These are the same.
Yeah, that's what we've been saying, man.
I thought there was more on one side than the other. I thought I've been misunderstanding this whole time.